Greetings. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you look at the likes of us and your grace just overwhelms you and you just keep coming after us, though we are wayward, though we wander. Father, I pray that you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear your truth for us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So the scriptures for this weekend are clearly about marriage, right? The whole idea of marriage. How many of you would agree with me that marriage is kind of under attack? The whole idea of marriage is under attack, right? Okay. So what I want to do is just use these scriptures to help us understand God's pathway back. It's always been there. Nothing's changed. Same today, yesterday, today, and forever, right? You actually have to say something on that. Yeah, okay. He didn't change, right? It's important that you get that. And I love the vision that God gives us in Genesis, in the beginning, right? God creates man out of the ground and every other animal that lives, right? Beast of the air, all the whole deal, right? But there was no suitable helper found for the man. So, he creates the superior gender. Not out of the dust of the ground, but out of the rib. Right? So that was a little bit strong of an amen there, sister, wherever that was. Okay. A little strong. I was little just making it fun. Okay, yeah. It is not funny. I agree. So, we're in clear. I apologize for the whole gender of men, ladies. I just apologize for the whole thing. Right? No, I don't. So, but I want you to see the vision. You, of course, understand this happened before the fall, right? So that changes everything. You have to understand what it was really like. For example, how do you think that Adam was able to name all the animals and do a good job? He hadn't fallen yet. He was still in perfect connection with God. Perfect covenant relationship with God. What does that mean? Some of you have been with me this weekend know that the idea of a covenant relationship, the word covenant means to define relational expectations between two parties. I'm sure you're familiar with these verses. I will be your God and you will be my... There it is. The initial covenant. He is the creator, we are the creatures. Right? And some of you look more creaturely than others, you know what I'm saying? I definitely look more creature than others, right? And so there is an important understanding in that relationship. We are dependent beings on Him. So the first covenant that you have to understand, if you're going to really live the life that God intended, is what was explained to us all service long. If you claim to be without sin, you're deceiving yourself. Do you remember the flow of the whole service? Right? And therefore, that's why he came. That's why he lived. That's why he died. That's why he rose again. To be the propitiation, the payment for our sins. So it was perfect, and then the fall. We remember that. Jesus comes to forgive all of our sins. Doesn't mean we don't keep struggling with sin, though, right? Let's go back again. Before the fall, no struggle with sin. It was beautiful. And we're told that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He wants us to have that experience of the garden again. Does that make sense? Now the reality is that in the fall, he also gave this amazing gift to humanity, which didn't exist before then. And we call that death. Yeah. Think about it. The reason that we now die is so that those of us who are in Him, and it's very important that you're in Him, we will go to heaven where it's going to be like the garden again. You get it? Death is a gift from God. He's limiting our exposure. Think of it like this. And by the way, how many of you are with me? knowing that it's probably clicking a little bit quicker than you think. Like, you know, I have no idea how long this thing keeps going. How about you? All I know is I'm grateful that I am in him, that in baptism he has taken me from darkness to life. He has acted upon me. He has done this to me. He gets all the glory. And I'm grateful. How about you? Now, of course, as it's going to be in true understanding of marriage, he's trying to take us who left and reconnect us. He wants that unity again. You with me? So the first thing to understand is we are the bride of Christ. Okay, you're not going to understand the marriage thing until you understand this thing. Okay? And he is the dude. Am I allowed to say that? The dude. You know, the dude. So I am first and foremost in my life married to God. I am his. He is mine. Think of John 17. My prayer, Father, is that they would be in me, like I am in you and you are in me, that they would be in me. And that's why he came and that's why he lived and that's why he died. So that can be in him again. And we just remembered that. And we just got reconnected and re-strengthened to go and live and, right, all that cool stuff. That was cool. Right? Why aren't more Christians living it then? One of the number one things being quoted on atheistic websites right now to disprove the existence of God is look at the church. It doesn't seem to matter. Let's just look at what we're talking about today, divorce and marriage. It doesn't seem to matter whether you go to church or not, they say. And statistically speaking, social statistical, they're right. We're just better by 2%. It's got to be, you're all in here. I mean, clearly you're represented here. You knew that wasn't funny. You're like, no. We've all felt the pain of divorce. Think of it like this. And by the way, this is a thoroughly Lutheran thought. You need to understand how unique our theology is. Let's say that you've been baptized. Most of you probably in here are there, right? And if not, please come see us afterwards. We got water. We can do it right now. I mean it. It's so important. And maybe you've confirmed that faith one way or another. As a kid or whatever, as an adult, you've said, yes, all right, okay? We believe that though that has happened, God acting on you, nothing you did, right? You can still push God away to your own damnation. Do you believe that? Okay, so you could divorce God. Does that feel right to you? I mean, it's not the right thing to do. Okay, but it's possible. Let's get into our gospel lesson. So the Pharisees came to Jesus. They're trying to trick him. They're trying to trap him. They tried to do this a lot. And he's the master teacher. He always turns it right back on him, right? He says, can we talk about divorce? What do you say about that? He just throws it right back in. What did Moses say? Because he knows that they're into Moses, right? So is he, by the way. Well, Moses said, and you got to understand the cultural context here, men have all the power in that culture that you could give. The man could give, read into it, the woman a certificate of divorce and divorce her. Jesus says, interesting take on that. Actually, it's because of the hardness of your hearts that Moses allowed this. For her sake, I'm going to let her get out of the dungeon that is marriage with you. Escape. If you're going to be that domineering, not what I've been... You guys know Ephesians chapter 5, right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, giving himself up for her. Wives, respect your husbands. You with me? You've been there, right? You know what I'm saying. And right before that it says, submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. Just like, and you do understand God doesn't call everybody to get married, right? But God does call me to get married to him. That's the universal call. And the only way I know how to help people understand biblical marriage, where he starts to describe, don't you remember in the beginning that God made them male and female, and the man is supposed to leave his mother and father and cleave or cling or hold fast to his wife. Love her like Christ loved the church. You keep initiating grace and truth. You keep initiating service. You keep wanting her to bloom into all God intended her to be. So it's the opposite of what you're hearing in the world. The world trains, especially men, but women too, sorry for that, to engage in relationships for what you get from them. Right? And so the math equation you're doing in your head is, what am I getting out of this? And when I feel like I'm not getting anything out of this, maybe I should go and get something from somebody else. Right? Does that make sense to you? Okay. Obviously, this doesn't make sense from a how do we live in the kingdom of God standpoint, though, right? Because I can guarantee you that God can enable you to live very differently from that. Now, it has nothing to do with you. In my flesh, I'm exactly that guy. I know I look all cleaned up and nice here. It's hard to imagine that I could be a self-centered jerk. That's exactly who you are without God. Exactly who I am. So Jesus comes to us and he tries to teach us. Because right at the end of the teaching on marriage, what happened again? He goes and now he's with his disciples. And all these, what? Children start clamoring for him, right? And they're like, oh my gosh, these crazy kids, you know. Right? He's like, don't you do that. He was indignant. What does Jesus indignant look like? I mean, you do understand he's God. Right? I mean, you know, how many times does Peter have to get this? You know what I'm saying? You know, Peter, just shut it down, buddy. Shut it down. You're real passionate, dude. I dig you, but not right now. Shut it down. Let the little children come, because for such is the kingdom of God. Ooh, he talked about the kingdom again. He's got something to teach us. Yep, you got it. Here it comes. If you do not receive me like one of these little ones, you have no part of me. Remember when we did that one? So there's the answer. The pathway back. Remember that he is the bride, groom, and we are the bride. That he did it all for us. He initiated. He died for. He loved us. And that's where we're going to find our peace, our joy, our everything. Quit forgetting this. You forget this quickly like me, don't you? Right? Because that's what this is all about. This is about coming to the Lord, and what a wonderful worship time we had. And recalibrating our lives around that truth. He is God, and I am his blood-bought servant. Praise God. Right? And now, you're supposed to be encouraging me to live in the Spirit. You're supposed to be encouraging me to be faithful to my wife, to be a godly man and father to my children. You're going to do that, right? You're looking at me like, I don't know, how do you do that? I'm like, uh-oh, that sounded like that was complicated. Like there's a covenant that you're trying to make with me now. You see, basically God's people, we, are supposed to live in this multi-layered covenant community dynamic. Does that make sense? We always have a covenant with him. I have now a covenant with you, brothers and sisters in Christ. That makes sense, right? And he has a very specific idea about how we're supposed to live with one another. Make sense? And he says the most potent, the most intimate, the most dynamic way that that covenant is going to be played out will be in my church. And one of the foundational stones to that will be families and marriages within that family. And if the evil one can go after marriage, He starts breaking that whole covenant thing, the power of God, teaching sinful people like us to actually love each other. I mean, that's miraculous stuff, right? You need to see the miracle behind that. Don't think that you can pull that off. Don't think that you're capable of actually loving another human being apart from the power of God. That is the greatest deception of them all. The greatest deception of them all we would call religion. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power therein. And Jesus was really upset about religious people. Do you ever notice that? He said, it's by God and His strength that all good comes. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of the heavenly lights. I don't know any good people. Do you? Now, theologically speaking, I don't. But the world keeps trying to teach me that I could be good. Work hard. Be a good guy. Do it. God keeps teaching me that I'm a sinner at the core of who I am. And then if I would just learn to live by faith, so the journey of a disciple, the journey of somebody who wants to honor the call to be married that I have been called to, is to learn how to live by faith in Him. Less of me, more of God. Less of me, more of God. More trust in Him, less trust in me will lead to life and love and God in this world. The same exact call and truth if I was a single man. Does that make sense? Less of me, more of God. That's the journey that God wants us all to be on. But if you look at the statistics, it seems like the discipleship pathway of the American church is more of me, less of God. More of me, less of God. And we're getting back into the it's all about us. It's not about Him dynamic. So I want to encourage you today to consider that God wants unity with you. And that if you are called into marriage or considering marriage, the dude guy back there I talked to yesterday, someday, young people, whatever, make sure it's God calling you to it. Make sure you're abiding in the vine, because apart from Him you can do nothing, nothing good. You can do a lot of bad. I mean, you can. I've seen. I do so much marriage counseling. You could wreak havoc on each other. I've seen stuff. You would think I'm making it up if I told you about it. People couldn't get that bad. Oh, you mean like pastors and their wives could get that bad? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Leaders in the church, elders? Oh, sure. So I want to give you just 5 points in parting. Is that helpful to you? I just want to give you something to think about. And this is true in your relationship with God or in any covenant relationship that God's trying to build. He's trying to build unity. Okay, so I'm a simple man, so it spells unity just so you can remember it. Does that make sense? Yeah, okay, I don't look very complicated. Okay, here we go. The U is unconditional love. The key to understanding how God loves you is He loves you. His grace is coming for you. He forgives everything, as Pastor declared. We're good on that? Now, you need to let His grace empower you to have that kind of forgiveness one for another in marriage, or it won't work. That's where we start. That's one. That kind of love moves us to the end, which is what I like to call a nest. A nest for a safe place to have a soulmate, to have somebody in this world who wants God's best for me. And they're committed to that. And they're going to love me. And they're going to do life with me. And we're going to journey together. Does that make sense? But it starts with the grace, right? Without grace, we got nothing. Grace moves me to that nest, not just for us, but and for raising children in. Then I is intimacy to the extreme. All in, naked and unashamed stuff, because that's what they were in the beginning, remember? Now, we can't experience that this side of heaven, because when I get naked, it's pretty shameful. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But what he's talking about here, in terms of intimacy, and you guys remember, intimacy means into me see, right? So I let people in. I share the real stuff. See, only when I feel like you're a man or woman of grace, only when I feel like this is a safe relationship and you're going to journey with me and you're going to help me work on my problems, not just point them out and all that stuff, only then will I release myself to a true intimate relationship. Make sense? All of this, by the way, for those of you who are premarital, is the kind of stuff that should be figured out pre-marriage. Make sense? And then the T, because only when that's safe, only when we're in that covenant, only when I see God empowering it all, will I allow God to use you as a tool to hone my character. I will be open enough to change. Does that make sense? Again, this is the same thing that would happen in brothers and sisters in Christ. Only when we understand the unconditional love of God. Only when we're a safe place. Only when I actually feel like you're being real. Being real in a real world is what the church should be marked by. Then I will allow God through you to speak into my world. As iron sharpens iron, so one man or woman sharpens another. I mean, aren't these great platitudes that most churches never realize? And then finally, if we can get to that place, then the concept of living on mission with God, the why is being yoked together on mission with God. Now that actually makes sense, right? But without all those other things really moving, when couples come to me for premarital counseling, say, would you be willing to marry us? I've probably told you guys this, but I say, well, if you're willing, if you're able to survive the premarital counseling, I will marry you. They're looking at me like, that didn't sound winsome. That wasn't inviting. Isn't your job as a pastor to make everything easy? I said, that's probably the church down the street. I don't think you've met me before. My job is to help you walk in Christ, to teach you how to live more by faith and less in you, to guide you toward the kingdom reality that He died that you would have. That's all I know. And I know that you've got terrible training from the world that has set you up for the exact opposite of what He wants for you. So I'm going to just poke and prod a little. We're going to just test and see where you are in your marriage to Him. Because if you're not drawing on His strength, if you're not living under His authority, this is a disaster. And I can't stand idly by and watch a car wreck happen that I was a part of. That makes sense? And then they go, okay, that makes sense. You're trying to help us. Yeah, what do you think we do here? Right? But it will mean some challenging of where you're actually at. It will mean some rebuking. You're going to have to confront sin, which is what the church, it should be normal in the church anyway, in grace. Like, I'm going to love you no matter what, but I love you so much I can't leave you knowing that that's your reality, you know? I can't leave you knowing that that's your mindset. I can't leave you knowing that that's your perspective on life, because He's got more. And I just want to point you to the scriptures that highlight all of this. So is that helpful to you to think about that unity? Jesus prayed that we would be one, as He and the Father are one. And He prayed that we would live in His vision for marriage, if you're called to that, that you would be one. Flesh. That's powerful stuff. Father, we are so grateful that You died that we might know Your resurrection power and be restored unto You, and that You would build healthy, alive families as well. Father, I pray for a blessing on everybody's journey with You as this covenant community, this church, learns how to love one another in a deeper way. I pray You'd guide that and bless it in Jesus' name.